Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah. Okay.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Welcome to the show. I'm Jason Whitlock, and I'll tell you why birthday boy Tom Brady is about to start showing his age.
Huh? I'm Colin Cowherd. I'll tell you why Dak Prescott isn't about to lead the Cowboys to the promised land. Speak for yourself starts now. Oh, that man, sounds like I'm being really critical of him, but it's not, and you'll have to watch and figure it out.
So ready. He's so ready. All right, hello and welcome. We're joined today by two Super Bowl champs, Ray Lewis and Eric Davis. Let's start with Tom Brady, who turned 40 years young today. The Patriots celebrated by bringing a bunch of goats to practice, you know, because Brady's the goat. All right, Colin, do you think Brady will start to show his age?
Yeah, but you won't notice it. I mean, I remember the time I walked into a steakhouse, 44 years old, looked down, I saw ants on a paper, on a menu, and I was like, oh, I can't read. I could read the day before. No, I looked the same. I can remember the Fleming Steakhouse in Connecticut, and I looked down on the menu, I'm like, I can't read a thing. And I'm like, I got to get glasses or contacts. Tom Brady, you know, maybe Tom will know. When you started aging and you were a little more sore, you couldn't see it necessarily on film, but there have been moments, first half of the Super Bowl, first half against the Texans. Tom's never been dynamic, but there have been moments where I'm like, he doesn't quite feel like he gets the push off. He doesn't quite feel like he's quite as nimble. So I think he'll have it, you just won't see it.
Of course he's going to show his age, but you're not going to see it. All of us ain't blind. I think Father Time is undefeated, and Tom may play well enough to win another Super Bowl, but his play is going to start to back up. We'll start to really see it this year. And again, he may play at a Pro Bowl level, but it won't be the same. He is going to start backing up, and we'll see it this year.
Go ahead.
No, please.
Please,
I'm coming after you. I got something.
Well, if he's playing at a Pro Bowl level, is he really backpedaling? If he's taking his team to the Super Bowl, is he backpedaling? I don't see it happening. I really don't. I don't see this cliff that everyone is saying he's supposed to hit simply because he's 40. He's taking care of his body. He's playing at a high level. Everyone starts to, well, I'm not going to say everyone. I'm just going to say Colin just alluded to the first half of the Super Bowl. What about the rest of the season? Mm-hmm. You're talking about this guy's play. Look how he played the entire year.
He got to miss four games. He only played 12.
Yeah. Okay, in those games that he played, look at the level. He still understands what to do with the ball, how to do it, and as long as Gronk can, as they just said, if they can catch the ball, he's going to find the open guy. I don't think his play is going
to
change.
You know, I said this all the time. I used to say this even when I was playing, man. You start to hear people the moment you start to get across that age barrier, and they say, oh, I don't know how much longer you play. But I don't need necessarily to be a young Ray Lewis. I don't need to be 25. Right. Tom Brady doesn't need to be 28 or 29 to do what he does very well.
That's right.
Right. And so when you say, will he start to decline, I tell you what he will start to do. He will start to keep dissecting these defenses the way he's
yes.
doing.
Yes.
Yeah. Because that's what he's doing right now.
Right. Let's keep it real.
Yeah.
You aren't the same at the end as that 23, 24-year-old.
But he was banging people,
that's
though.
That's my point. That's nine surgeries later.
Yeah, and Tom Brady doesn't do it.
Tom Brady don't do that. That's my exact point. I'm glad you said that, so put your hands down. I'm glad you said that because that's my point. I was a banger. Like, my whole body was just beat up. So you're talking about a guy who's taken nutrition, who's taken his body and made it a true temple, and now he doesn't get hit in training camp. He's not going through the physical beating that we went through in training camp.
And another thing, Brady has an advantage because Belichick's generally been just smarter than the rest of the league. He was the first guy to attack the middle of the field with tight ends about 3 years before everybody else did. The league's benefited Tom. Mm-hmm. It's become a bubble screen league. So Tom doesn't need these overarching throws. By the way, this is happening in the NBA, where Ray Allen extended his career because it became a shooter's league.
Yeah.
Ray Allen was a vertical player, down the lane, jam it. The league became a shooter's league, and Ray's like, oh, I can play to 40 now. The sports rules have helped Tom.
Yeah, you know what? And in some ways, you can use that analogy for football, for the quarterback.
Yeah.
It's become a shooter's position.
Guys can play longer.
You can play longer if you are accurate with the football.
Drew
because
Brees.
It's short passes, quick passes, the middle of the field, the rules aren't the same. So I don't see his play diminishing.
Everybody on this panel has been 40 once. And we all know the difference between 39 and 40. And it's significant. You start going to the bathroom in the middle of the night when you used to be able to sleep through the whole deal. Tom Brady.
That happened to you at 40?
Tom Brady.
That didn't happen to me yet.
Tom Brady puts his pants on one leg at a time like everybody else.
Okay, but
y'all lying.
Okay, but let's just take acting. Okay, because sports is entertainment in Hollywood. What do you do to push back on the aging process? You cap your teeth, you get plastic surgery. You can extend 34 for about 10 years. Now, I do agree there is a tipping point. Mm-hmm. But Tom, similarly, from his nutritional standpoint, the bubble screens, the coaching, Tom is just extending it just like plastic surgery in Hollywood with bubble screens.
He doesn't run an offense that requires him to get hit a lot. He doesn't run an offense that requires him to run and throw on the run and move the pocket a whole lot. He stands in the pocket, he shifts around, he avoids contact. That's what he's always done, and he gets the ball out of his hands quickly because he makes the right read.
Let me add one more thing that happened to me when I was 40.
Oh, boy.
You know what?
I told my girl, you got 10 minutes, baby. That's all I got. You don't get it in 10, it's not happening.
Come on. Welcome back, Ray Lewis, Eric Davis. Let's move to Odell Beckham Jr., brought to you by Lexus Experience. Amazing. Earlier this week, Whitlock brought the hammer down on the Giants' talented wide receiver. And now he's got some company. Former Vikings GM Jeff Diamond going after OBJ in the pages of the Sporting News, writing, quote, "The list of ridiculous Odell Beckham Jr. statements in action continue to grow. The latest is his proclamation he should be the NFL's highest paid player regardless of position. Hey, OBJ, ever heard of a position called quarterback? There's a pattern here. This is a guy who's clearly more interested in being a celebrity than being a great football player." Oh, boy, Whitlock. Probably agree with Jeff Diamond?
Of course I agree with him. I mean, he's made my point. I don't have to say this. I don't have to talk very long. Do you want to be a great player or do you want to be a celebrity? This is what management and ownership ask all the time. And I think Odell's had a nice start, a great start to his career. But will it last as long as he's on this celebrity path? I don't think so.
First of all, time out. Why is it that NBA guys, hell, LeBron's got a production company. In L.A., that's okay.
You're being but, disrespectful to football players.
Oh, come on.
You know how much harder it is to play football?
Oh, God, come on, give me a break. Time out. So, NBA guys, it can be Silicon Valley.
They don't play during the regular season, right? They just roll the ball out there and everybody monkeys around. Half the time, they don't even suit up or whatever.
Yeah, playing in the NBA is a piece of cake.
Yes!
No! No!
Compared to the NFL, relatively speaking,
have 16 games. Odell Beckham can't have a side company. He can't have a marketing agent. Why do NBA guys can own a company?
Football's an all-in sport.
Oh, baloney. They're all-in sports. How the hell do you get to the NBA if you're not all-in? You can be partially in and be an NBA star?
Yes.
Oh, come on.
Yes.
Why, because you were born tall?
Yes.
There's a million tall guys in America.
No, there's not. You think there's some seven-footers in the league that can't play a lick?
There's a seven-footer a mile from here, and he can't hit a jumper. You don't think it's hard work to get to the NBA?
Compared to the NFL,
oh,
no.
Oh, brother.
No.
These two, yeah.
No. You're crazy.
No, I don't think that Odell, I disagree with what Jeff Diamond's saying. I don't think he is more concerned about celebrity than playing football. What you guys are doing, that's an antiquated way of thinking. Jeff sounds like an old man. You got to understand these millennials. That's a part of their life. The celebrity, the social media, all of the things. Odell is smart enough to understand that if he doesn't play football well, there is no celebrity. Is he taking advantage of it? He's in New York. He's taking advantage of it. Do I think that he cares more about football than the other one? Yes, because he knows that if he can't play, if he's not making catches, if he's not winning, if he's not performing on the field, the other dries up. That's why the football is more important to him. He wants the celebrity. He enjoys it, but he knows he has the ball out.
Do you see that video that they ran of Odell Beckham? If you run that video again, it's very funny. Like Odell Beckham. Crazy Odell Beckham, he's doing a beef jerky commercial. Whoa, boy, I mean, that guy's outrageous. A beef jerky commercial. LeBron's got 400 employees in Los Angeles.
And what's wrong with saying I want to be the highest paid player? What's wrong with that?
I look at it and say absolutely nothing. Look, I said this before. People who are starting to watch sports, you said it, the new millennials, either you get on the bandwagon or you get off it because it's never going back to old school. Twitter, Instagram, a whole new world now. Yeah. And so whether you want these guys to be popular or not, like rock stars, they are now.
Yeah, yeah.
And this is the day and age that we live in right now. I tell my kids all the time, be careful what you do on social media. Be careful
there
what you post on social media.
Boy, what a distracted wide receiver, a jerky commercial.
It's different now.
You
it's like different.
Party boat pictures not out there, and I couldn't call for it at any time. You act like I couldn't call for the video of him dropping passes in January in a playoff game at any time. The man, y'all feeding this man so much gas that he's going to blow up like I've seen a lot of people fed too much gas.
Oh, he had a bad game.
In the most important one he's ever played in.
Yeah, you're right. But, yeah, I agree. He had a bad game. So we're saying his career's over because he had one bad game. His first playoff game, he had a bad day.
Right. If we keep feeding him gas and don't make him earn it, The thing about millennials, I'm just telling you, the problem with them is nobody put a foot in their rear end.
I believe in earning it.
And so we can get with the new program and never put a foot in kids' rear end. I don't care. Because you know why?
Because it worked
for hundreds of years.
Yeah, but that's what people...
Spare the rod, spoil the child. Don't put a foot in a kid's rear end. He's going to put his foot in yours.
But what's being said is that he doesn't care about the football.
Right.
That he's more important. That you're saying that being that celebrity... I'm not saying that he doesn't like the attention, but you're saying it's more important. It can't be more important. He has no attention, no celebrity, if he's not balling out.
He would not be the first to do that. He would not be. Look, I love football, but I love candy more. I love barbecue chicken more. There was a bunch of things I love more than football, and that's why I, you know, was a mid-major college football player, rode the bench for 2 years, played for 2 years, because there was things I love more than football, and I really love football.
But you know what? This guy wasn't saying that when Odell was showing, when he was showing his workouts, when he was sitting there with Chris Carter and doing all these things, prepping himself to play. That wasn't about celebrity. That was about playing football.
Listen, let's say Odell Beckham never talked. Yeah. Okay, you're going to tell me that his agent wouldn't be like pushing him to go to card shows? That's what agents do.
Yeah, I know.
And so he's a good-looking, flamboyant, amazing. Let's be honest. Once he made that catch, kind of the world changed. He became iconic
for him,
on what?
Yeah, for him,
I mean, he
for
was
sure.
a good player.
Yeah, because he's in New York. It changed for him.
This is what agents do. Like, if you're in New York, by the way, it's not like Derek Jeter didn't have hobbies.
Derek Jeter had rings. Once he gets the rings, I'm right there with y'all.
Oh, come on.
Once he puts up a playoff performance, I'm right there with y'all. But right now, y'all trying to crown him. It's too early. All right, welcome back. Ray Lewis and Eric Davis are back. Let's move to Miami, where Ryan Tannehill went down with a non-contact leg injury in practice today, and people immediately started naming the Dolphins as a possible landing spot for who else? Colin Kaepernick. It turns out there's no structural damage in Tannehill's knee, but it's unclear how long he'll be out. Cowherd, would Kaepernick be a good fit with the Dolphins?
You know, he wore that Fidel Castro shirt, right? Fidel Castro is a very polarizing figure in the Cuban community, which is significant in South Florida.
Yeah.
You know, I came up with a team today, and I thought to myself, Carolina's the team. No, just hear me out. Okay, I just want you to hear me out. First of all, I've always said wherever Kaepernick goes, you need a strong personality to be quarterback, or he'll overwhelm them. Secondly, they've done some read option stuff. Third of all, they have a veteran head coaching staff that can handle any controversy. And fourth, they have a good defense. You don't need your quarterback to throw 45 times and carry you. I think Carolina is going to be the landing spot.
No.
I don't think Miami works for me.
No, Colin, one, they mean mugged on each other on the field after a game last year. I don't know if you remember that iconic photo. Kaepernick, to me, over Twitter, was trolling Cam Newton all the 2 years ago about the dab. Kaepernick feels like he started it when he was kissing his bicep. That would be, no, that's a bad pairing. Listen, Kaepernick is making it very tough on himself to get back into the league because of the people he's associated with. I've said it from the very beginning. If you're an NFL owner, if you're an NFL head coach or some type of executive, when you start discussing Kaepernick or bring him into your environment, you run the risk of all the people around him accusing you of being a bigot. Steve Bisciotti and Ray Lewis, victims of this right now. Steve Bisciotti, the owner of the Ravens, has done the right thing, being transparent, showed an interest in Kaepernick. No good deed goes unpunished. Kaepernick's girlfriend tweets out this picture. This is what it's analogizing Steve Bisciotti to a slave owner from Django and Ray to a slave. This woman is not black. She's a Muslim woman. She's not black. This is racist. It's over the top. If we put out some photo analogizing something in the Muslim community as provocative and sensational and as bigoted as this, the Muslim community wouldn't stand for it. But somehow we're standing for this, that Kaepernick's girlfriend can do this to people for no reason other than Steve Bisciotti made the mistake of showing an interest in Colin Kaepernick, and they didn't immediately sign her on her timeline.
It's all right. It's all right, Whit. Trust me, it's all right. You can't. I don't think you can put that all on Cap. Just people gonna be people, man. I'm telling you. Just I got kids. I got grown kids. So you know me. The last thing I'm gonna do is entertain ignorance. I ain't got time for ignorance, right? The good book says even a fool is counted wise until he opens his mouth. So I don't pay attention to too much foolishness. But just leave. Just take Cap and try to remove Cap from that, and just let the people around him be what whoever they are being, because I think he's still trying to get a job. I don't know.
Yeah, I think he's still trying to get a job, and you're right. That has nothing to do with him. A lot of this, and I think a lot of it, the reason why you're saying don't bring him into an organization is because of the fact that that is going to be a part of it, could be a part of it, all the peripheral stuff. But the question is he a good fit for the Dolphins? I was thinking about this. I was like, no, but then the more I thought about it, with Adam Gase, he actually is. Yeah, he actually, with the way Adam Gase, first of all, that's a strong enough personality. Adam Gase is a strong enough personality to deal with Cap and whatever else comes around. Adam Gase is also a pretty smart football coach. Adam Gase did what Bill Belichick couldn't do. He was able to win with Tim Tebow. He was able to put a system in place that would utilize the skill set of Tim Tebow. Okay, so I'm just saying, I think you look at it. Remember, he was also trying to get the 49ers job where Cap was the quarterback, and he had something in mind what he wanted to do with him. So he actually could work out for them if that were the case.
I would go back to Cowherd's point. The Cuban community is very strong in Miami. Mm-hmm. The guys throwing on a Fidel Castro T-shirt and trying to say positive things about Fidel Castro. People are talking about the NFL as if it's not a business. Mm. It's a business. People are... Oh, why would you consult your fans? What business doesn't consult its customer base? No successful one.
No, I saw something yesterday. It was interesting. There was an online poll, and I apologize. I forget what media personality had it. And it said in fact, I think it was Bonnie Bernstein, a respected journalist and a friend of ours. Bonnie had a poll, and she said, if Kaepernick was named starter, would you be mad, upset, no problem, so-and-so, consider not going to the games? And 12% said, I'm out. Now, my take, people were saying, well, it's only 12%. And I thought, 12%, if I was a grocery store owner, mm-hmm. and somebody said, you're going to put a product in, 12% of the people don't show up, I'd be like, okay, I'm taking the product out. I don't think a lot of people would bail. I'm not saying it's a huge number. But to your point, if I own a team, all it takes is two suite owners to be ticked off, and I've got calls at midnight. It's not necessarily loss of revenue, loss of this. If you're unemployed and want to be employed, if you're employed, I'll deal with some headaches. But if you're not and are seeking employment, I'm just counting headaches. And 12% is 12% of headaches.
Now, Colin, okay, it's 12%. So on that poll, I wish there had been another poll and said how many of the people would bail if the team started winning and the team continued to win.
You know how hard winning is, though.
No, no, I understand that, but that's what I'm saying. Like, that 12% that would bail, and let's just say, like, a place like Miami, where you say if it were 12% and we're using that for Miami right now, how long has it been since they won? How long has it been since they were able to do anything?
You make a valid point, Eric.
I think they come back.
You make a valid point, but that's not how you operate a business. If an accountant monitors your books, you're losing 3% because of X, Y, and Z. You eliminate that X, Y, and Z.
But this is the one thing.
You don't go, well, if we serve a better, my dad owned a bar, and we started, one of his customers would die, two,
but
three,
wait,
and it was
a
problem.
This is the one thing about the NFL. It's not a bottom line business. It's really not. And that's not the way you look at it. Ray, you know that. The way guys are paid, you know, the proportional way guys are paid within the locker room and things like that. There are guys on a team that their value is not even on the field.
Yeah,
it's raising other players and teaching them. So I'm saying it's not a bottom line business. So you have to look at some of the other aspects of it,
right,
as opposed to just the dollars and cents of it.
Well, I'll just say this. I don't care who you are. When you decide, hey, I'm going to pay a guy $800,000, $2 million, $5 million, you don't want to be analogized to Leonardo DiCaprio's Django character as a thank you.
But that's not cap. We just said that's not cap.
That's not
cap. Didn't put that out.
Right. That's the people around him, though, and you subject yourself to that. He's got the wrong. The people that think they're helping him are killing him. I'm at a loss. To another outlandish receiver, Terrell Owens, the former Cowboy, went on Adam Schefter's podcast this week and had some high praise for his old team's new quarterback, Dak Prescott.
You look at the way that Prescott played last year. This guy played lights out, rookie of the year. There's only a lot of upside to that guy. So I can only imagine what this guy is going to be in the years to come. Just like, he reminds me of a taller version, more seasoned version of a Russell Wilson. Again, you just put the right, you know, people around him. You know, Dez Bryant, you know, be the playmaker that he was a couple of years ago, and he gets some other added pieces, good tight end, and you know, they really got a defensively, they stop some people. They're going to be a force to be reckoned with. They can definitely contend for the Super Bowl this year.
Let me say this. Before I ask you the question, I loved everything T.O. said. Then he had to take a little pot shot at Dez Bryant, like the playmaker he was 2 years ago. That was a shot. Anyway, can Dak Prescott take the Cowboys to the Super Bowl?
Can he carry him?
Carry, yeah.
No, because nobody can. Aaron Rodgers is good enough. They can't get him in defense. Aaron Rodgers has had one great defense, won a Super Bowl. By the way, Peyton Manning, the best defense he ever had, won a Super Bowl. Tom Brady's never won a Super Bowl with a bad defense. None of these guys can carry him. Now,
although he took the worst defense in the league to the Super Bowl one time, Tom Brady. I think they were like 30th, 31st or something.
They didn't win it.
31st. No, but he took them there.
Now, Dak, here's the key. He would not inhibit them from winning the Super Bowl.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you're not going to say at the end of a year, you know, we would have won except for Dak.
Yeah.
But this whole carry a team to a Super Bowl, come on now. These 49er teams you played for, they had Pro Bowlers all over the defense.
Mm-hmm. Listen, your point is well made. Carry, no. But is he a guy that's ready to win a Super Bowl this year? Yes, I think so. And look, the reason why I say that, I thought his playoff performance was great last year. At the end of the game, made key plays, did enough to win the game. He's actually performed in January. That's why I don't mind crowning him and saying he's ready. He deserves all the praise he gets.
I would add some to Dak, and I would add Ezekiel Elliott, because those two as a duo makes Dallas very, very special for a long time.
Yeah.
Right? You think about coming in, and you come in, and I was privileged and honored enough to come in with a guy by the name of Jonathan Ogden. And you see...
That's a big man.
That this thing, and you look at this guy, and you come from totally different places, right? But you're looking across, and you say, wow, he's my teammate for the next however many years.
Yeah.
And then you look at yourselves and say, how good can we really be? And I think those two, starting the core of what those two guys do for the offense, now they're going to have to outscore a lot of people, because I don't know if their defense is going to be able to hold up against the NFC. But I think what they have offensively, Dak Prescott, I watched this kid since Mississippi State. I watched this kid's story, got to know him well. Me and him talk, not as much, but we talk a lot. And to see what they have now, I'm pulling for him. I really like this.
Yeah, he's an impressive young man. Yeah. I've only briefly talked to him, but when you talk to him, you can see that he gets it. Mm-hmm. I'm with you on the fact. No, he can't carry them by himself. Mm-hmm. He and Zeke, they can.
Yeah.
You lost three starters, I believe, in your secondary. Sean Lee played an entire healthy year. You know what? I don't want to wish any injuries on the guy, but you know, Sean Lee not missing time, that's an anomaly. The defense becomes better if those two guys are working. So with both of those guys, Zeke and Dak, working, you have an opportunity to push through. I'm not going to take a shot at Dez, but if Dez gets back to scoring all the touchdowns that he was scoring, I think that's where T.O. was going. I mean, you know, he was putting up numbers in the end zone. That's the big deal. It's not about all the catches. It's about moving the chains and scoring points. So he got a shot.
It's interesting with Dak. Like, let's think of all the young quarterbacks. I think Russell Wilson has better feet than Dak. Cam has a better arm. I think Jameis Winston has better size. I think Mariota's kind of his ability to be mobile. What's always blown me away with Dak, it's not his physical stuff. I still think his arm's okay, his size is okay, his feet are okay. The thing that blows me away is he didn't have a bad game. He had a bad half against Philadelphia, bounced back. His poise was shocking.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
It was like 9 years in the league.
Since By the way,
he was on Monday Night Football, Sunday Night Football.
Yeah.
Like, it's not like he's playing for the Jags. He was in the most watched game 11 times last year.
Mm-hmm.
He never went into the tank. Like, that, to me, is his gift. Everybody's got different gifts. You know, the precision of Montana.
That's a good point. That's a great
Everybody's got different gifts. His gift, God gave him, it's all
well,
good.
Well, he has mentioned in Montana, what he has is what Montana had. When he walked into a
huddle,
you think you're going to win.
Absolutely.
And you saw that when he took over that team that could have panicked after losing their starting quarterback.
Yeah.
He had something about him that allowed them to say, okay, he made a play. Can he make another play?
Yeah.
Can he make another one? And they believed in him.
You know, I talked to Ogden once, and he told a similar story about Rod Woodson and that the combination of Ogden and Woodson really made Baltimore great.
All right, welcome back. Joined now by Kenyon Martin, whose Big Three team trilogy is undefeated.
Wow.
Also joined by the founder of the Big League, Jason McIntyre. Let's move to a guy nobody thinks is the best, LeVar Ball. Now UCLA alum and college basketball analyst Sean Farnham says LeVar's outrageous behavior is a big problem for the Bruins basketball program.
I think this is going to affect UCLA's recruiting. I think there are going to be kids and parents that are going through the recruiting process right now that do not want their kids part of any part of this circus that follows LeVar Ball. And that's going to be an issue for Steve Alford and the UCLA basketball program moving forward.
Whitlock, agree? LeVar's trouble for UCLA?
I think that UCLA has made some moves to try to limit LeVar. I think he was handed a list of rules that he needed to follow, new rules. I think that UCLA was surprised that he agreed to them. It'll be interesting to see if he can follow them. I get where he's coming from, the guy that said this could be a potential problem. Not everybody wants to play in LeVar's circus.
Yeah, listen, I'm a parent. My kids are going to go to college. I would consider the environment. If it's chaotic, I wouldn't want my kids. I'm not even saying as athletes. Just if, listen, I've been hearing stories about, like, Missouri's attendance has fallen over controversy. If you look at schools that have had major protests.
Baylor.
Yeah, I mean, like, their attendance drops. So if you're sending them to UCLA basketball, I'll ask you, Kenyon. I mean, you have a son who's a top player. I would be wary of it, wouldn't you?
Yeah, no, definitely. You want the best environment for your kid no matter what they're going to school for.
Right.
And my son, whoever would be joining the UCLA basketball program, and LeVar's around it, it could potentially be a problem. You know, him speaking on minutes, playing time, situations with other people's kids. Never know what the situation might occur, because we all know he's outspoken and he's going to say whatever at any given time. And for me, if that's the situation, I would definitely I look at the situation and be like, some pause might be there for me to send my kid.
Yeah, I get it.
The only pushback, guys, is his best son, Lonzo, is with the Lakers, the glamour franchise of the NBA. Where do you think LeVar is going to spend his time? UCLA, where his son may not play a lot, or the Lakers, where his son's a starting point guard? I just feel like he's going to be away from UCLA. He's got sneakers to sell. He's got a brand to push. I would be at Laker games if I were LeVar
Ball. But ask yourself this, though. Let's take LeVar Ball out of it.
Yeah.
Let's just say, okay, let's say this. My son's a quarterback. And there is a LeVar Ball type high maintenance parent, and his son's quarterback too. Well, I would think if I send my kid to whatever school it is, and that dad's making all this noise, then I'm going to have to, as a father, make noise that he could inhibit my kid getting playing time. Like, if I was a parent with a basketball son, my takeaway is, well, LeVar Ball is going to make so much noise that my kid may not play because I'm a quiet dad. I'm going to put my kid off to the school. If you're a guard and you're sending your kid to that school, do you want LeVar's son to be part of the program?
What about the counter to that, Colin? I mean, part of the reason we're talking about UCLA in August is maybe because of LeVar Ball and Lonzo going there and raising the level of the program.
So that's the problem right there. You're talking about LeVar Ball.
And you want to be talking about the kids.
Yes, that should
and
be
so,
the
And so, again, every kid has parents. All LeVar Ball's not the only parent of a UCLA basketball player. And so when the adult parent says something controversial, and I'm not talking about, like, salacious, just some kid can't play. Well, that kid has a parent. It's like, hey, I'm not talking about your kid. Why are you talking about mine? And so, again, every kid on that team has a parent. LeVar Ball doesn't know how to stay in his own parental lane and just, you know, do what's appropriate for that and let the kids be the star, let the coach be the mouthpiece for what's going on with the team. That's how you keep all the other parents out of it and have the best experience for the kids that are on the team. So LeVar Ball is a potential problem because you just never know when he'll strike.
He's tension.
He could be sitting at a Lakers game and make some comment about UCLA basketball.
Like, when have you ever heard of a university putting rules in for parents? You know what I'm saying? Like, just think about it.
Right.
Like, sounds like the history, children's sports.
Yeah, the history of there's been pretty good athletes to go to college and play sports. You've never heard of rules being implemented for a parent because he can't keep his mouth closed.
Even to a bigger level, Adidas just got burned by LeVar Ball this weekend. They represented him at the AAU, and then he said those misogynistic things. Under Armour signed a huge deal a year ago with UCLA. You don't think Under Armour executives have sat down and said, we got a problem here. We are now connected to the Ball family. Like, this is overreaching now. We've got several people, players, coaches, athletic directors, Under Armour. Man, crazy is dangerous to be in a relationship with.
Like you said, Jason, let the kids play be the narrative.
Yes.
Lonzo, LiGello, LaMelo, let that play be the narrative. And unfortunately, it hasn't been that.